Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Larry Merchant along with George Foreman. That's your name, isn't it? And welcome here to our big fight, our usual Monday night fight here for Madison Square Garden. And George, how you been?
I'm doing real good, Larry. This is going to be a great fight. And I eat and I sleep and I crap and then I come here. Those are the four things I do. Eat, sleep, crap, and sit next to you.
Would a shower kill you?
Watch it, man.
And also, of course, we have Slappy Brown with us. Slappy, how do you see tonight's fight?
Who's fighting?
Well, I... What do you mean, who's fighting?
I don't know who's fighting either.
Well, you're right, I haven't even mentioned that. Well, let me just mention to you that there is a fight here tonight between Lennox Lewis and Osama bin Laden's number two man. You know, the guy who blew himself up with his own hand grenade.
That's nuts, man. I've never heard a man do that before. I fought Jimmy Young. Of course, you know I fought Muhammad Ali and all them. And I never heard of one of them blowing himself up with a hand grenade.
That's nuts.
That certainly is a wild thing. But Lennox Lewis, of course, is the defending champion, the WBA, the WBF, the IBF, the IBM, the IBB, the IBB, the ICC, the FAA. He's done it all. And Osama bin Laden's number two guy, a real formidable cat, he plays with hand grenades and then they go off in his lap. This fight, of course, brought to you by Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. Sit back, relax, take the pin out of a grenade and have a Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer right there at home as you listen to tonight's fight. All right, let's go down now, and Slappy Brown has a very special guest.
I'm talking now with Lennox Lewis. Lennox, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I think it's going to be a good fight and everything, man. Man, I'm coming in a hand grenade. What the hell that all about? Man, I'm scared.
I have over here Osama bin Laden's number two man. What's your name?
I don't know. It's that's wild. You know,
do you have a name?
No, they didn't report it. I don't know, you know. But everybody says, so the hand grenade went off in my lap. It hurt. Let me tell you, that wasn't
very good, was it?
No, it wasn't good. Jesus. But I hope I can go into fight today and, not...
blow your balls off.
That's, yeah, it's okay.
All right, back up to you.
Yes, and of course, Slappy Brown's drunken demeanor this evening brought to you by Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
Schaefer.
Mike Schaefer?
No, Schaefer.
Oh, Schaefer Beer, okay. I thought Mike Schaefer bought you the beers tonight. Well, champ, what do you think about tonight's fight?
Well, that's going to be the second time you've asked me that question, and I still feel the same way I did before.
Well, what did you say? I was so bored with your answer, I didn't hear it.
Well, I think Lennox Lewis did the thing, and my head, and I hurt, and everything. I got to get out of here, you know, and, man, I need some air.
All right, thanks a lot, George. So into the round, the ring they go, there is, and here comes, as Lennox Lewis is entering the ring, followed by Osama bin Laden's number two guy, and listen to him taunting the champ. You can't hurt me. Nothing you do.
What you talking about, man? You're the dumbass blue grenade up in your crotch.
You quit bringing that up, okay? It was embarrassing enough. Yes, embarrassed he was, as last month he was sitting in a cave fooling with a grenade that went off in his ass. Blew his rear end off, took him to a hospital. Oh, man. Lennox Lewis is down there. They're giving each other a whole bunch of crap, taunting each other. And there's the bell, and they go out down to the center of the ring, and Jimmy Johnson will give them the official notification.
All right, you guys got any hand grenades or anything? Don't pull the pin on that.
What are you guys? You're busting my balls on this thing, okay? I did it one time.
Yeah, man, just keep it away from me.
And another thing, you guys, just have a clean fight. Everything's going to be beautiful, okay? Any questions?
No, I can't think of anything.
No, I'm okay.
All right, break up, let's go.
And here we go, into the center of the ring they go. It's Lennox Lewis versus Osama bin Laden's number two guy. This ought to be a great... Wait a minute, what is that?
It's a hand grenade.
Get away from it.
Ooh! Damn, man, you did it.
I knew I should. Oh, God, what did I do? I did it again. Ooh, yeah. Well, it looks like he... What did he do, champ?
What the hell you think, man? He pulled a pin on a grenade.
Yeah, I did it. Oh, boy, that hurts.
Hey, champ, what do you think? You won the fight. He blew himself up.
I don't know, man. The dumbest damn towel head I ever seen in my life. Pull a hand grenade out, man. What's wrong with you?
Boy, that hurts. Oh, boy. Gotta get back down to the tunnel or something. I don't know what I gotta do. Well, that's the end of the fight, as you can see. God, I had two of them. That's the end of the fight, folks, as Osama bin Laden's number two guy just blew his balls off again with another hand grenade. Lennox Lewis is the champion. Let's go down to Slappy Brown. Slappy, what do you think?
A champ, he blew himself up with another hand grenade.
What the hell wrong with that man? Damn! Get it away from me!
Yikes!
That brings the fight to an end here for Madison Square Garden. This is Larry Merchant along with George Foreman for the Phil Hendry Show.
Everybody, and welcome to Dodger Stadium. This is Rick Monty along with Ross Porter, and welcome to Dodger Baseball. It's on the air.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ross Porter, and welcome to Dodger Stadium. Dodger Baseball is on the air.
We have to say everything the same way twice because he thinks he's the number one guy when Vin Scully isn't in the booth, and I think I'm the number one guy when Vin Scully isn't in the booth.
We have to say everything twice because I think I'm the number one guy when Vin Scully is in the booth, and he thinks he's the number one guy when Vin Scully is in the booth.
Well, we ought to have a great ball game. Beautiful weather tonight for you to sit out and enjoy the big baseball game.
Great ball game. Beautiful weather tonight for you to sit out and watch the ball game.
As the Dodgers take on Osama bin Laden's number two guy. Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Farmer John Meat.
Dodger Baseball is brought to you by...
Jesus. Yes, Farmer John. Easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor. Well, I'll tell you, the Dodgers had a very disappointing season as they really stunk the joint out this year, 2001 baseball season. But let's not forget, this exhibition match could help them salvage some dignity, some shred of dignity, as the Dodgers take on Osama bin Laden's number two guy.
As you've probably guessed, this bit will just include Osama bin Laden's number two guy blowing himself up just like he did in the prize fight.
That's right. It'll basically be the same punchline, so let's get to it.
All right, coming up to the plate now, the Dodgers are in the field. Kevin Brown will be facing Osama bin Laden's number two guy, and we spoke with him just before the game.
Osama bin Laden's number two guy, you're a formidable... you play baseball?
No, I don't play baseball, no. It's, you know, I like it. I'm a big...
How do you think things are going in Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, they're kicking our ass now. You know, you have to be in the cave and that thing, and I'm cleaning my weapon. I watch CNN, I watch Greg Van Susteren, you know. And I'm just trying, you know, hope that the special forces doesn't come in, you know, stick a cap in my ass, you know, for that. But no, it's good. And
how's Osama bin Laden? How's he doing?
He's good. He's worried. He doesn't look good. He's not eating, you know. He needs. He's not sleeping too good. But you know, I gave him some soup. You know,
he's eating that.
Yeah, he's eating. He's fine.
Well, that was my interview earlier with the number two guy.
Now to the punchline.
I'd come to the plate as Osama bin Laden's number two man at the plate.
Yeah, I'm going to hit this one out. Babe Ruth, you know, right on the fence.
And you can hear him taunting Kevin Brown, saying he's going to hit it right out.
Here I go. I'll just get into the batter's box now. Swing the bat. Gee, what's this? It looks like a paperclip. Oh, no, it's the pitcher.
Well, looks like he blew his ass off again.
Yikes! And up with spots.
So he's down, not hit by a pitch. He's down with his balls blown completely off from that hand grenade. And he'll take first base.
Well, he's not exactly taking first base. They're dragging him down there by his beard.
But he'll get on first base.
That's right.
So Osama bin Laden, let's have a replay on that, okay?
Here's our instant replay, and you can see him getting into the batter's box there.
You guys, I'm going to hit it out.
Yikes!
All right, so here's the instant replay.
This repeat of the joke that we had in the prize fight has been brought to you by Farmer John. Farmer John, easternmost in quality. Never mind.
As
if you didn't know, the voices of the announcers and Slappy Brown and George Foreman and, you know, all, and the guy, all of those were done by me. I do all the voices of the characters on this show, in case you didn't know. Like the guy that was there just last hour talking about whatever that guy was talking about. What was it? Oh, it was Margaret. It wasn't even a guy. That was me, too. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Now, before we go to New York, we're going to do something else. On Friday, this coming Friday, I'm going to broadcast my show live from the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills as part of the 2001 Radio Festival. 64 of my biggest fans and their guests will be part of my live audience for a special local show from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific. So enter to win a pair of tickets by logging on to philhendryshow.com and look for the link on the main page. That's next Friday, this coming Friday, actually, on October the 26th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Museum of Television and Radio. And then we're off on Sunday. We're on our way to, no, on Saturday, actually, we're on our way to New York City to do a week worth of shows in New York. You know, one other thing that I wish that I wasn't seeing so much of, and that is this coverage of the military operations in Afghanistan. I'm seeing way too many videotapes of guys jumping out of airplanes, way too many videotapes of the guys going through Omar's house, far too much speculation on where they might be now and where they might be going next and which weapons they're using and how they operate and where they're living and where they're going to be in the winter. And, you know, just shut up. Bush said it early on. He said, you're not going to know everything that's going on. And I think it's time that he kind of backed that up a little bit, because we have got, and I said it after the September 11th attack, within 48 hours of that, I believe all of the networks did a great job in terms of a sort of an emergency mode of reporting. But after that, the news and the information becomes superfluous, it becomes repetitive, and there's a lot of it that we just don't need to hear. And a lot of what we don't need to hear is what's going on in terms of the military operations over there. It was nice to know that they left the pictures of the firefighters, but, forget it. It's not necessary. And they have more military experts speculating as to how they're going to go about doing this. The latest I heard, which I really appreciate this a lot, and I haven't heard anything of it since this morning, that they had pinpointed bin Laden within 20-mile by 20-mile area. Now, there's a couple of things that I would say. First of all, maybe that's misinformation. And if that's the case, good for the Department of Defense. And you could also say the same thing about this anthrax. Maybe they're just throwing a lot of misinformation or disinformation out there to try to trip up whoever is doing it. Somebody said on the news, was giving some likely scenarios and possibilities as to how a terrorist might hit us beyond the anthrax scare. And they were speculating. And I heard someone mention, well, that's a really bad thing because then the terrorists get ideas. But, you know, my feeling is, yeah, they may get ideas, but they also, the authorities now have ideas as to what they may do. So who knows? It may be a way of preempting whatever somebody does. If you can guess what a terrorist is going to do, he may get the idea to do it. And that dumbass may go out and try to do it, and then you got cops there waiting for him, and they bust him, and, you know, all's well that ends well. That's hopefully the scenario. As far as what's going on in Afghanistan, the information that they are giving us is completely and totally useless to the average American. It is completely and totally useless, and it can be destructive, because it is now into a propaganda phase, a feel-good phase, that can be very bad for us. There's a feel-good thing going on right now. Hey, the special forces went in, and these guys, they're a badass, and they can do anything, and I believe that they are, and I understand that they're very formidable guys, but they can't do everything. They're not supermen, and they're going to have their problems, and they may have some casualties, and they may have defeats. And to paint these guys as supermen, if I know my country like I know my country, it ain't a smart thing, because the minute they send one of those guys home in a body bag, you're going to have millions of Americans freaking out, and let's get out of there, and it's not worth it, and a whole lot of the crap. Let's run, let's hide, let's not conduct this war, because we just had a guy get killed, and it's just isn't there some way we can negotiate with bin Laden? And they're going to, how quickly they forget what that guy did on September the 11th. The information we're getting about the military maneuvering in Afghanistan right now isn't doing anybody any good. It's a feel-good propaganda thing, and I don't like to see it, and I don't want to see any more of it. And I would respectfully request CNN to get their thumb out of their ass while it's still able to be extracted from their ass. Because, you know, if they keep it up there much longer, it's going to be cemented in there forever. Their sphincters are going to tighten up around it because they're going to get some bad news. And then the next thing you know, there'll be like a thumb extraction. It's just not doing any good having all the generals sitting there and speculating as to where people may be, and having all of the Air Force guys sitting there and speculating. And what's the average American going to do with that information? Well, he's going to fool himself into thinking a certain way, and it's not realistic. Because as much as people want to say it isn't the Gulf War, it isn't the Gulf War, and not everybody's got that message yet. This has only been, when did we start the airstrikes? October. It was the first weekend in October. I was coming back from the old boot, in fact. It was Sunday. September 29th. No, it wasn't. It was in October. It was the first Sunday in October. It was the 7th. What's the date today? The 22nd? What, are we going to win this war in 3 weeks? Come on! You know, it took Hitler 3 weeks to take over Poland, all right? We haven't even introduced ground troops into this thing. 6 weeks after December 7th, guess what was happening to the United States armed forces around the world? 6 weeks after December 7th, 1941. You think it was good news? Because it wasn't. 6 weeks after December the 7th, we were getting our asses kicked. A lot of different places. And we're going to have to get into a groove here that is a groove that we have never been in before, and that is, it's time for, you know, there's going to be, you know, some blood that's going to get spilled. Which is not, I'm not saying, you know, 8 million body bags. I'm just saying we are not being done any favors by this feel-good propagandizing being done on the news channels. It's bull crap. The people don't know how to process this information. They don't know how to read this information. It's good stuff, and yeah, we have great armed forces, but it is giving us the wrong impression that, you know, we're closing in on Bin Laden. Hey, I don't know, man. Maybe today at the end of the show we may get the word, hey, Bin Laden's just been captured, make me look like a dumbass. Perhaps, you know, that's the case. But it's just not right to say, hey, Army Rangers went in and they did that. What exactly did they do? Well, I'm sure they did some stuff, and maybe it wasn't the 100% smashing success that they want us to believe that it was. Maybe it was even more of a success. Maybe they already got Bin Laden. Maybe they killed somebody. I don't know. When they get some results that are concrete, then I think they can report to the American people what those are. But until they start getting some real, definite, concrete results, like Kabul has been captured. Okay, there's the first piece of news. We'll get that one down. Bin Laden's been killed. Okay, that's the second piece of news. We need that one, okay? 1,800 Al-Qaeda guys just blown up in an anthrax scare. Okay, there's another one. Boom. Concrete, solid information. The rest of this is a lot of jive-ass, feel-good propaganda. And with, you know, I mean, to help these guys in the armed forces, we got to quit indulging in this stuff. And I would much rather not see it. And I realize that my words carry so much weight that I'm sure right now CNN is reassessing their entire editorial policy. Not. It's just one man's dumb opinion. Because I sit there, you know, with my thumb in my mouth, watching the news on Sunday morning,
and it looks like they've got Bin Laden in a 20-by-20 area. And another thing, the guys went in last night, they left pictures of the firefighters. Oh, and one more thing, look at these neat videotapes. Yeah, sure, that's them jumping out of the airplanes. See all those cool guns? Look at the GPS systems that they have. Yeah, they can target a building. Yeah, sure, uh-huh, yeah, that's it.
And I'm all like, yeah, what else are they doing?
Well, here's one more thing. By the way, buy Ford. Oh, okay, and another commercial.
I'm reading Black Hawk Down right now. They made a movie out of this about the Special Forces attack in Somalia in 1993. It's a tough read, man. It's tough. It's not anything. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a brilliantly written book. It's a tremendous book, but I just wouldn't recommend it in terms of it's a very difficult thing to read because these were Special Forces guys that went into Mogadishu, and, you know, there were 100 of them. The next thing they knew, they were in a firefight with 1,000 Somalis. What they thought was a one-hour operation, they were in there overnight. And it was brutal. So, wars have good news, they have bad news, they have heroes, they have villains. It's about love, it's about hate, it's about all of the extremes in between. We need to kind of get the message on that one, all right? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'll go to our open lines here. Let's go to Lancaster. Hello? Lancaster, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Sir, I'm calling from Lancaster. I'm Austin. And I think there's a lot of confusion, Phil. I think that a lot of your listeners would be interested to know.
Where are you right now, sir? Because I can hear a lot of stuff going on.
I'm over at a pumpkin patch. My daughter's picking out a pumpkin.
At a pumpkin patch?
Yeah. My daughter, my wife had me go up with my daughter to pick out a pumpkin. But
all right, go ahead.
I think that there's a lot of confusion out there, that, and they don't tell you the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh. Now, I'm not saying that it's right to say nothing to them, but I think it is suspicious that if you're any kind of a guy who is wears a turban or anything, and you've got a gas station. We got a guy that owns a gas station, a guy that wears a turban that owns a gas station.
Well, when you say wears a turban, what is he?
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's what I wanted to tell you. He owns a gas station that's not selling flags and flag pins. On top of that, he's got this turban.
Well, what is he?
Well, he said he's Sikh. But I said, I thought he was Muslim, because I went in there and I said, how come you are not selling no flags? Because if you're a Muslim, don't you think you'd want to be make yourself look good to the American people?
Well, I you know what, I'm not going to comment on that.
No, but that's what I said. And he said, I'm not a Muslim, and I don't care whether I sell American flags or not. And I said, well, what are you? And he says, I'm Sikh. And I'm like, how are you supposed to know it? That's why I say there's a lot of confusion. I would never have said anything to this guy if he wasn't done up to look like a Muslim.
Okay, so if you'd known he was Sikh and not a Muslim, you wouldn't have said, how come you're not selling American flags?
Yeah.
Well, why should he sell American flags if he's a Muslim, but it wouldn't make any difference if he was a Sikh?
Because, say that again?
Why would you care whether he sold flags or not if he was a Muslim, but not care if he sold flags or not at his gas station because he's a Sikh?
Because we're not at war. We're not at war with the Muslim people.
That's right. But President Bush said that.
But the Muslims, you would think, would try to show more of the patriotism than the rest of them.
Let me ask you, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Yes, sir.
I'm a cabinet maker.
You're a carpenter?
I'm a cabinet maker. I do interior carpentry, yeah.
Okay. So do you have a flag on your truck?
I don't have a flag on my truck, no. Because when they started selling, they sold out. Okay. And so I was not able to get one, but I do have one on my house.
You don't have one on your truck?
Well, I just couldn't get a hold of them.
I'm telling you right now, they're selling them all over the place. Anybody that doesn't have a flag in their car and wants to have a flag in their car, they ought to put it, but never mind about that. You got one on your house, you got one on your house.
I just think a lot of the Muslims got a little bit more to prove than other groups. And you hear all the other talk shows call people stupid and uninformed. I think you need to know, Mr. Hendry, there's a lot of confusion.
Well, a Muslim...
What's the difference?
What?
What? How do you know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh?
First of all, I would say this to you. Why do you need to know the difference?
Just because I want to.
Just because you want to. You're going to have to come up with a better reason than that.
Because I think it's important. You wouldn't have a lot of these Sikhs getting the crap kicked out of them if people knew that they're...
Oh, I see. If they knew they were Sikhs, they didn't know they were Muslim. Then if they knew what a Muslim looked like, they'd beat the crap out of the right guy. You're not going to get me hooked into this conversation, sir.
No. I don't want to beat up anybody. I just wanted to ask the Muslim guy, which I now know he was a Sikh, why he wasn't selling flags.
You wanted to ask the Muslim guy, which you now know is a Sikh, why he wasn't selling flags.
Yes, sir.
Well, you found out that he was a Sikh by asking him.
Well, that's true, but by the same token, you need to be able to see, well, you know, what the difference is. How do you know?
Ask him.
But how do you know if you don't have an opportunity? What if you're just driving down the street and you see him walking? What, am I going to pull over and say, excuse me, are you a Muslim or a Sikh?
Yeah, that'd be a great thing. Hey, excuse me, are you a Muslim or are you a Sikh?
So there's no difference.
I didn't say there wasn't any difference.
Well, you're saying you don't know.
I know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh.
Well, that's all I'm asking you. What is that?
A Muslim believes in the Quran, and a Sikh believes in something else.
No, the way they look. How do you know the difference between a Muslim turban? They tell me that the Sikhs are okay. Then I look on TV and I see some guy with a tablecloth on his head. And
it's not a tablecloth, sir, and we don't have to go down there.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. You see some who wear a towel and the others wear a tablecloth, and the Sikhs, like, wear a shirt. I mean, there's three different...
No, it isn't. It's the Sikh wears a turban that's more like a... It's more...
Like those Abbott and Costello movies.
What?
The turban that the Sikh wears looks more like in an Abbott and Costello movie, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's more... You mean like the classic...
Yeah, that thing like in Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. The dudes who knew the mummy.
The dudes who knew the mummy.
They wear...
You know, sir, I got to tell you something.
The big jewel in the middle.
Just hold on for a minute. You know, one of the things that I think is happening here, this is so wrong and so bad because you sound stupid.
Mr. Henry,
No, you sound stupid. And when you talk this way, people say, who are not from America and who don't know much about our country, listen to the dumbass who doesn't know the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim. Because he thinks a Sikh wears a turban like the one that guy wears in the Abbott and Costello movie. Whatever that...
The one with the jewel in the middle.
Yeah, the one with the jewel in the middle. And then you compare... Who wears a tablecloth?
That, all I'm saying, sir, is that if you look at Yasser Arafat, that thing he wears like it's a tablecloth with a ring over his head.
And then the one that the Muslims wear...
The one that the Muslims wear, I don't know what that is. The guy just ought to sell flags so people know he's of America. That way, even if he's a Muslim, we know he's on the up and up.
Well, this is America, where you don't have to prove that you're on the up and up, okay?
But you said you don't know...
I don't know the difference. A Muslim has a certain belief, a Sikh has a certain belief. The Sikh seems to wear one of those turbans, you're right, that looks a little bit like the Abbott and Costello Meets the Mummy or whatever.
Yeah, like Boris Karloff wore it.
Yeah, okay. And then the...
What about the Taliban?
They have kind of a...
It's like they rolled it up or something, or twisted it.
Yeah, it's like a twisted thing that...
That drapes around their head.
That drapes around their head, yeah.
Then how about Yasser Arafat?
That's more like a tablecloth, yeah.
Like a ring. Is that a wooden ring?
It's kind of a wooden ring. I don't know what it is! Hold on for a minute. Is that guy at the pumpkin patch? 1-800-449-8686. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Some dumbass, excuse my language, I shouldn't say it, calls up the show and says, hey, I don't know the difference. There's this kind of turban and that kind of turban and this kind of thing. Oh, yeah, you don't know the difference, huh? Well, what does that mean? If I knew the difference, then I'd know who to hassle. Get that guy back on. Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
So this is all about you wanting to know who to hassle.
No, sir. America is Americans, is Christians and a handful of Jews. We don't know from anything else. It's hard for us. We work hard, and then they expect us to know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh. And I don't want you to get angry, but now, and I believe they're Hindu, the ones who have the dot.
Hindu.
That's Hindu. That's why I told my wife that. But the tablecloth and the
turban with the jewel in the middle, it looks like Abbott and Costello.
I don't know that.
1-800-449-8686. Frankly, I don't know anything about Sikh beliefs. The Muslims, the Christians, whether it's a tablecloth, whether it's a wound-up towel, or whether it's the kind of turban that they wore in Abbott and Costello Meets the Mummy, I don't know. All I do know is there is no sense in finding out the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh just so you'll know who to hassle. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Bill Hendry.
All right, so in other words, what you're saying there, Mr. Amarca, is it? Mr. Amarca, right?
Yes, sir.
What you're saying is that most Americans don't know the difference between a Sikh, a Muslim, a Hindu, or anything like that, and that's how you get into this profiling?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not about hassling anybody, but I feel pretty, and you're right. I mean, I feel stupid, and I don't want to be stupid. I want to do the right thing. But so.
But when you say that Sikhs look like those guys on an Abbott and Costello movie,
it's the only turban that I've ever seen that looks like what a Sikh wears. Is what the, like a snake charmer? Have you ever seen those guys that play the? And then the snake comes out of a basket.
Yeah, I've seen those guys.
That's the guy who has the turban with the jewel in the middle and wears nothing but underwear. Then there's the one.
He wears more than underwear. I know what you're talking about. That whole snake charmer thing is some kind of a wild Indian stereotype. The Muslims and the Hindu, well, I don't know about the Hindu.
But see, that's the whole thing. A Hindu wears the same damn thing a Sikh does, only he's got a dot in the middle of his forehead.
All right, hold on for a minute here. Your daughter's getting pumpkins at the pumpkin patch?
Yeah, she's picked out another. You got two? She's got two of them now, so.
All right, hold on. Austin, let me go to a phone call here. Danny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my comment is that it's not about being stupid. It's about being hateful. What this guy is hateful.
I'm not hateful about anything.
No, yes, you are. You're hateful, you know.
No, I don't see where you come off saying I'm hateful. All I'm saying is, if you're Muslim, why won't you sell American flags at your gas station?
Why does he have to sell American flags?
Because that lets everybody know that he's on the up and up, and he's not going to fly an airplane into the Space Needle.
What?
Doesn't make any sense. Those guys who flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they could have been selling flags left and right, but they still did what they did. It has nothing to do with selling flags.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do not, sir.
Well, look, if a guy is wearing some kind of a wrapped-up tablecloth on his head, and...
Why do you call it a tablecloth?
Because I don't know what else...
He's hateful.
No, nobody...
It has nothing to do about being ignorant.
Let me ask you a question. Has one Muslim... Since this whole thing come down on September 11th, called up any talk show you ever listened to and explained what that tablecloth on their head is? Has one Muslim called up and said, yeah, we aren't the guys that have the turban with the jewel in the middle of it? We are.
Why should they?
Because I think they want to explain their religion, so we don't think they're all a bunch of damn...
So why don't you... You know what you should do? Why don't you read a book about the Sikhs, about the Muslims,
you
see what it is.
The American...
You know?
Isn't there American Muslim Society?
Oh, yeah, listen to you. The American Muslim Society. Is that what it is, Mr. Henry?
I don't know what it's called.
Hey, you. Danny, is that your name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, what do you call... who do I call? Where do I go?
Go to the library, pick up a book on Muslims, on Sikhs, on Hinduism, on Arabs,
If you're online, if you go to the internet and enter in Muslim on the internet. Enter in Muslim and dress.
Muslim and dress.
Right, and that'll give you probably some description of what all that stuff means.
Well, exactly. I have a question. I have another comment is that there's a lot of Arabic and Hindus, whatever.
Are you an Arab?
No, I am not. I'm American. And my heritage is from South America and the Caribbean.
Well, see,
I have a grandfather who fought in World War II, and I have my father who fought in the Korean War. So I don't have to prove myself, and they don't have to prove themselves, you know. But the thing is, there's a lot of Arabic, there's a lot of Hispanics that look Arabic.
That's what I'm saying.
Do they have to prove themselves also?
No, your dad and your grandfather don't, but you may have to.
Why should he have to?
If I'm driving down the street and I see him standing out in front of a gas station, all bets are off.
Oh, bull crap. The guy's Hispanic and owns a gas station.
Unless he's got a mustache. Then I know.
You know what it is? You're being hateful for whatever reason. Brought up in life,
sir,
whatever.
I'm here with my daughter getting a pumpkin out of a pumpkin patch. I'm doing one of the most American things you can do. All I'm saying is...
You know what you should do is not bug anybody at a gas station, okay? The guy's wearing a turban, he's wearing a turban. Walk up to him, say, excuse me.
Yeah, how would I do it?
Okay, you could go up to him and say...
You don't have to even do it. Just leave him alone. What is he doing to you that you have to ask him, what is he? Is he a Sikh or is he an Arab?
What does it have to
do anything with your life? What are you going to get into? Are you gonna make some kind of citizen's arrest?
No.
And become a hero or something?
But all I want to do is find out why he wears the kind of turban that was in a mummy movie and why the Muslims you know.
Would you get off the mummy movie thing?
It's the only way I can describe it.
No, exactly. So then you know what you should do, and I just already explained it to you. Read a book. Go to the internet and look it up. Is that so hard?
My people are not big book readers.
Well,
who's your people?
Well, we're you know, like 15th generation Americans come over, you know. I'm not that smart. I don't come from a lot of book readers.
Well, why don't you start? You got a daughter there, right?
Yeah.
Are you taking your daughter to school?
Of course my daughter goes to school.
Well, how about making her the first generation of your family that moves on and gets a college education or something? Instead of, what is she going to be? She's not going to be big on books either?
Well, I don't know. I would like her to know the difference between the Abbott and Costello.
Would you quit with the Abbott and Costello turban already?
It's ridiculous, you know. First of all, this country is not ours.
Can your daughter, your daughter read? Can your daughter read?
Yes, my daughter can read.
Well, then have her look it up on the internet. All right, Danny, thanks for your call. Let me go over to Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
I just, in reference to that idiot at the pumpkin patch, you know...
An idiot. How am I an idiot?
He's proposing what Hitler did. Everybody wear a patch to tell you why you should hate him.
Wait a second. I didn't say any such thing.
Really?
No, I did not. All I said was, how do you know if you...
Hey, Jim, could you watch your language a little bit?
Yeah,
you
know, well...
From the Snake Charmer movie, as opposed to the tablecloth that Arafat wears, how do you know the difference?
Who cares what the difference is?
I do, because one guy may be one of them who wants to fly an airplane into the side of the Matterhorn.
Yeah, you might be a Ku Klucker.
A Ku Klucker?
Yeah, Ku Klux Klan.
No, it's not Ku Klux.
Wear a white sheet.
It's Ku Klux Klan.
Really?
Ku Klux Klan.
It's not Ku Klux Klan. It's
Klan.
What is it?
Klan. Ku Klan Klux.
Why don't you have your daughter look it up?
Honey, would you look up Ku Klan Klux? Well, we're at the pumpkin patch. I can't do that right now. But I will promise.
It's Klan. It's Klun Klux.
Klun Klux Klan, ain't it?
Ku Klux Klan.
What? Klux-a-doodle-doo.
Oh. All right. Thank you very much for your call. Screw you.
Well, I really want to know. Don't they wear the thing on their head? Or is that a sheet of it?
Yeah. You know something? Now that you mention that, dumbass, all those people wear some form of a sheet, don't they? Whether they're the Klun Klux Klan or the Al-Qaeda, they all got sheets on their heads. Interesting. I'm Martha Stewart. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So that guy was really a piece of work. Next Friday, by the way, I was doing the voice there of that guy calling in from the pumpkin patch. That idiot in the pumpkin patch. Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills as part of the 2001 Radio Festival. We'll have some of our fans there. We'll do a special show live, 7 to 10 Pacific. We'd like you to join us. Enter to win a pair of tickets by logging on to philhendryshow.com, 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 and look for the link on the main page. That's this coming Friday, the 26th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific at the Museum of Television and Radio, the Phil Hendry Show.